You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. An afternoon drive home like no other.
I really have to go to the bathroom.
All right, thank you. That's enough. But what I'm supposed to consider your potty
please,
training?
Please.
Like, okay, go be a big boy and go potty. And then when you come back,
we'll get into...
It'll be snack time.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 live from Maple Leaf Square. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan around 5:30. Our main man, Josh Leuenberg, a Raptors reporter, will join us around the table, and we'll look back on Game 1 from Saturday where the Magic got past the Raptors 104-101, and we'll start teeing up Game 2 tomorrow night down at Scotiabank, and Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here in a moment. Game 3 tonight can be heard right here on TSN Radio, and we're waiting on the Nazem Kadri news. We don't know when that's going to come across the wire, but...
Pierre LeBrun had some great reporting today. Said the hearing's at 1. It was 1:09, so it should be underway. I gave him a thumbs up on that.
You said that.
Just making sure people know.
Yeah.
Keeping people informed.
It was funny, man.
Yeah.
Starts at 1, so it should be underway. Excellent job, Pierre.
Yeah. Well, they don't call him the best in the business.
I like that, though. He's on top of it.
That was a good scoop.
That's
letting
right.
People know. Happening at 1.
That's right.
It's done. I mean... I can't imagine that hearing lasting more than 30 minutes.
Well, what are you going to hear from Nazem Kadri that would make you change your mind anyway?
I didn't mean to hit him in the neck or head. I meant to hit his wrist. No,
you're not. But there, because of the process, there are the PAs involved, your agents involved, the general managers involved. So guaranteed, I don't know if Kyle would have flown down with him or at least been on the conference. Like, this is it's a big process. Unfortunately, I went through it once, and it was very nerve-wracking. You know, I knew I screwed up and made a mistake, and you know, I wasn't hurting my team. I was no factor. The difference is I was zero factor on that series, where Nazem could have been a big factor in this series, and now is not going
right,
to
and probably needed to be.
Correct.
But it's also, you know, don't use it as an excuse. If it doesn't work out for the Maple Leafs, people will look back on that play.
Right, right.
As they should, and we all will, including this program. But
yeah.
Don't allow it to become an excuse. You know, it's 1-1. Yeah, it didn't go for you on Saturday night. It didn't go well. But on Thursday, it went really well for you. And you're back home, right?
Exactly.
Like, you know, you're going to need to win another game in that building at some point. You know, I think that's become clear. You didn't get it in Game 2, but you're going to get another crack at it. Friday night, Game 5, and if need be, Game 7. But make sure you hold on to your own home ice. You know, if you can get the positive vibes going, you know, if you can get a win tonight, there you go. You're feeling real good about yourself.
Don't be shy, Maple Leaf fans. If you really want to make this a place where there's a home ice advantage, maybe leave the suits and the quietness and get this place rocking.
And you're going to have to...
Don't be shy.
Yeah.
There's going to be a game where you're going to have to bail the goalie out because he may have an off night.
He's played really well through two games.
Yeah.
So
there may be a night where he's just average or below. You got to outscore that issue.
Why not chase the other guy out for a game?
There you go. That's what I'm saying. There's going to be Tuukka's going to have an off night. Freddie's going to have an off night. What you do with that? Now Hutchinson's backing up. It wasn't a big deal, but you know Garrett Sparks backed up both of those games. Didn't need to go to him, but at some point. We may see another goaltender in this series on either side.
Right.
You know, difference is Halak's had an amazing season. Hutchinson is is a guy that just had a kid and
was in the minors.
Was in the minor, but honestly, if Freddie struggles in any night, that's where the team is up to prop him up. Upscore that issue.
Yeah.
Do something.
Well, and that's probably going to happen. I mean, every seven-game series, if it gets to that point, it's a roller coaster.
Exactly.
You know, like
it's
kind of wild that both games ended 4-1. You know, that score line between these two teams, it's like a gravitational pull.
Right.
Like you can't avoid it. There's something about 4-1. But, you know, the overarching theme leading up to the spring, both for the Leafs and the Raptors, was prove that you are different than past teams.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of, I think, what leads to the city kind of being in shock today is that on Saturday night, the Raptors would lose Game 1 like they seem to always do. Kyle Lowry underperforms in Game 1 like he always does. And Nazem Kadri gets suspended in the exact same corner of the rink in Game 2 again. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like the whole – there's so much anxiety in Toronto right now and, you know, throughout the country for that matter if you're a Leaf fan or a Raptor fan because you want to believe things are going to be different.
Wow.
And these are opportunities for all these players to prove – that, you know, your past reputation, you can change it. Go look at Tiger Woods is the best example. Like, yeah. Look at Tiger Woods. The biggest fall from grace, probably in the history of pro sports, a punching bag for jokes and people goofing on him. No one's laughing at him today.
Yeah.
Nobody's laughing at him anymore. So go out there and change your own history. Change your own history.
Change the narrative.
Change the narrative. It's on you.
It is, and they've got an opportunity here. I said... Doesn't matter how you lose. In the playoffs, you have to have amnesia. Now, you made a good point as to history is different than just the recency bias. So, Nazem has history last year in the meltdown.
In 2013.
In 2013.
He was there.
Same thing with Jake. Other than that, the only history, the players that were there last year, which is a good chunk, John Tavares excluded, they know what happened last year, but they can change the narrative because of their experience. They're a year older. Boston's guys are a year older as well. But this, go out and what? Who cares what happened in Game 2? See what happened in Game 3. Go after it. Be aggressive.
We're live in Maple Leaf Square. You can hear Game 3 tonight right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. We're waiting on the Kadri news, Ray, and obviously no one can excuse what he did on Saturday, but we've been trying to explain it, you know, the fact that the game was getting away from the whole team, how emotional he was, maybe he was looking down the bench and wondering why other guys weren't involved in the war. Take us back to your reaction Saturday night.
I couldn't believe what he did. There's 100 ways to deal with your frustration, including as you're skating there and you can see it's DeBrusque, you know, break your stick over his arms, lay a two-hander across the back of his legs. But to cross-check him in the head is indefensible. I just can't even imagine how he's going to build a defense that makes the suspension not a heavy one.
No, he doesn't have one.
Like the game, there isn't one, is there? I mean, like, you just, like, man, that's what I got, right? And so, look, the game got out of hand. It was, you know, all three of us have played in playoff games that have gotten heated and out of control. And you, looking back, you're like, oh, my God, that we lost our emotion. Like, we lost our emotional control so badly. And you know it shouldn't be like that, but it happens. And I guess all I can say, really, is he made a mistake. It's a mistake that's going to hurt his team. And, It's one that I hate to call it selfish, but you're not really protecting anybody in that point, what he did. Because if you look at the play, as soon as it's over, the next guy on the scene is 6'8", 250 pounds. He could have picked him up and thrown him over the glass.
Right. And DeBrusque got right up in his plan tonight.
But he held his, like, Chara held his protect his teammate thing. I'm sure he was sour, too. But Nazem just, he lost it. And I can't imagine it's going to be a good result here.
Ray, we went around the table. I thought it was going to be 5 or 6. O thought maybe a little, where were you, O? A little heavy?
Five. Yeah. The rest of the series.
I thought the rest of the series at least, maybe a 6 spot. Brian was in that mentality. Where are you at with it?
I think it's the rest of the series. You know, last year he got 3, right? And so that got him back in for, you know, for the tail end of the series. I don't think there's a way back from this in the series. And so the punishment would be heavy enough that, you know, basically you're telling the Leafs, look, if you get through this round, you're going to have him back. But you're not going to have him back in this round.
Ray, how stupid is the idea? I think it's stupid anyway. Now some of the people are saying you can't trust him, which there may be some truth to that statement, but moving him or walking away from it, it's just such a Toronto. To me, it's ridiculous.
Well, I guess what I would say was, like, they got to get into the off season, and then they're going to make the salary cap work, because, well, they're going to make it work. It's just which players are going to be there. They're going to have some decisions to be made, and while his salary is really good for a 32-goal score, is it really good for a 16-goal score? And so, in my mind, they're going to have to make a choice between him and other players to try and make the salary cap work so this team can continue to be a team of growth. And it's the same as Tampa. Let me put it this way. It's the same as Tampa Bay. I don't think Tampa Bay is a terrible team because they had three crappy games. I would look at the 62 wins before, and I would balance that out somewhere in my head. I don't like the play he made at all. I don't like it at all, because he's hurt his team more than anything. But I'm not trading him because of that play. I would look to move if that's the way that I can get more of my best players to fit under the cap. And if it's somebody else that has to go, then that's the decision you make too.
Well, and everyone's so emotional right now, you know, from the fans to even people covering the team. I'm sure the team is as well. And, you know, Kyle Dubas puts off a vibe like he's, you know, Mr. Stability all the time. That's not true. You know, management types, they go crazy in the press box.
Behind the scenes,
they're going crazy. They're not happy. But you can't make a decision in between game two and game three for what you're going to do come July. And I think if you're going to apply that reasonable mentality to Kadri, and we're putting the cart way before the horse here, but I think that has to apply to William Nylander as well, because you talk about a whipping boy, Ray. You know, people are taking runs at Kadri because of the stupidity of his decision on Saturday night, but not because of his intensity or lack thereof. William Nylander is taking a beating in Toronto because he hasn't looked good. Like, he's been careless with the puck. He's at times he's been avoiding contact. He doesn't look like he's really engaged. But, you know, as a teammate, how would you handle that? If you're on the bench and you notice that there's passengers on the team, is there anything you can do about it?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, like, you can you know, go past the guy and say, come on, we need you, you know, and give him a little whack on the shin pads. But, like, you can't make somebody be something they're not. What's concerning to me about Nylander is we see the difference-making talent, we see the high-level skill, and he's got to dig in here. Like, he has to. He can change the narrative in 120 minutes of hockey. Like, he can change it that quickly. Can he? Will he? I don't know. But the other night, when the game got ugly in the first two periods, he was not good at all. In the third period, I thought he played a little bit better, but the game was gone by that time. Yeah, and the nastiness sort of, I thought it kind of, for the most part, it settled a bit until it really sprung up again towards the end.
I think he thinks that carrying the puck through the neutral zone and curling up with the blue line, it's just, you have the puck, but you're doing nothing. Maybe take it to the net. Maybe do something else, because it's so predictable. I don't know. I know what he's doing every time he's on the ice. He's get the puck, he goes down the wall, and he turns up, and he looks for a pass, and that's basically a shift. It's like, I can do that. Well, I'm not fast enough to get into the zone, but I could do that.
The other play he makes, too, the drive, that it bugs me, because I know there's more there, is when he doesn't turn up, and he goes right behind the net. And you're like, you're not even dangerous back there. They're going to let you go back there all night. You go all the way around to the other side. It's different in the regular season, right? You've got room. You go around. You circle the zone. Like, think of the difference when Marner goes down the wing. He's got the puck, and he drives. He'll take it to the net unless there's nothing there. When he goes around the net, right away, he's looking for the quickest avenue to get it back into the middle, into the dangerous spot, where Nylander ends up back behind the defenseman up at the blue line. I know there's more there. I just don't know that he's found a way to tap into that. Like, some of it is, you're just going to get, you're going to get a cross check, you're going to get a slash, you're going to get a punch in the nose, and that's the way it is. Are you willing to take it? Because the more I watch the Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm convinced there is nothing in any sport that changes more from the regular season to the playoffs than the sport we're watching.
Yeah, it's not even
and the
close.
Games don't even look the same anymore.
Well, and as a result, they're officiated differently, but, you know,
the war zone.
But you could call something on every single shift. There's a slash, there's a hook, there's a hack, there's a punch in the head.
Yeah. And then you'll watch a game like Winnipeg-St. Louis. The centerman got tripped right after the draw, and the ref called it. And Craig Berube was like, what the hell's going on here? It's a war zone out there, and you're calling a little trip like that?
Well,
that's where they're playing with fire.
And listen, if you're the Maple Leafs, you know, you've got to get into the war, but you've got to be disciplined because they're not comfortable in traffic like that. Like, they're just not. You know, they're not comfortable in the muck, so to speak.
But, Brian, you brought up a good point. It's like they have to get into the – they got to get into the mud. But they can't – you cannot – I've said this all season. You can't change what you are. The Leafs are skill and speed and tenacity when they skate. And that has to be their heaviness, their hardness to the game. If they try to play like the Bruins, to show the Bruins how tough they are, they're going to lose. They're going to lose every time. You can't be what you're not. You can be what you are. And my thought in this series is one team is going to play their style longer than the other team. And in Game 1, Toronto played fast and they had the puck. And yeah, they competed hard, you bet. But they made plays with it. In Game 2, they wilted.
Yeah.
And that if that happens again, they lose.
Well, you know, I think you're spot on. You can't recreate yourself in the playoffs. You've got to play your game, but you've got to amp up the intensity within that bubble of who you are. And, you know, that's where we get into the Auston Matthews conversation where, you know, he's still Auston Matthews. He's still one of the most talented players on the planet, and he has the ability to change a game unlike, I think, anybody else in the series, you know. Maybe you could argue Marner, Tavares, Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron, but you know when he's chugging, it's like, look out, this guy is money. And I haven't seen the intensity rise yet.
I had to go through a shift to talk about him coming up on SportsCenter, Brian. And the way I look at it, he is built to dominate a hockey game. The size, the speed, the skill. And he wasn't like he didn't put his equipment on, but there was just this loopy element to his game. He did have a couple opportunities, but at the end of the game, if he did score two goals, I would say about his game, he was opportunistic and he capitalized on a couple wrist shots in front of the net.
Right.
And that is not what people want to say about his game.
Right.
They want to say, like Brad Marchand or Patrice Bergeron, they were dominant. Every time they were out on the ice, they had the puck, they were making plays. Not opportunistic. Well, here, Johnny on the spot and you rip home a couple wristers. That's not what the Leafs want to say about him.
But here's another point. Like, is David Pastrnak a killer? He had two bombs of hits.
Yeah.
Did he not?
Yeah, he did.
That's out of his wheelhouse.
Right.
But it's competition.
And at least, Jamie, he understands that's his B game because he hasn't played particularly well either.
Right, but
he had the one assist. If he's not scoring, he'll go out there and work his balls off.
Yeah, no, you're right. You can. There's examples all over the
league.
Exactly. Like, honestly, well, Matthews. Guys, go ahead, Ray.
I'm in Denver. Why can't Auston Matthews be Nate MacKinnon?
Exactly.
No kidding.
Like, he can.
I'm
watching. He can. It's on him.
He can. Oh, of course he can. In the first two games, MacKinnon had 12 shots on goal. He had 24 shot attempts. He's averaging over 25 minutes a game. And when he's on the ice, everybody knows where he is.
You know it.
And Matthews can and should be like that. And he needs to find that gear because it's there. It's not far away, but it's there. And he has to find it. That's what the Leafs have bet on with him as the one pick. Him with his extension, him with the 40 goals, all of it. It's there. And Nate MacKinnon, I think, after watching him for the first two games of this series, that is a style of game, for the most part, that Matthews can play. That level of strength, that level of speed, that shot. You guys saw the overtime goal the other night.
Wow, Calgary could have had seven people on the ice. MacKinnon was still scoring that goal.
Right. Well, it's not like he's playing against, you know, brutal play. He's got the Norris winner coming up.
Yeah, that's Gio.
Chasing him around.
I just happened to look, for some reason, as the play, they made the save on Frolik right in front of the net. And they made a pass up the wing Colorado did to Rantanen. And I don't even really know why. I was up top. I happened to look across the ice. and I could see McKinnon coming from the right side of the ice. And I was like, oh my God, they're not going to stop him. Like, the play hadn't happened yet, but you can drive the play with your speed. Calgary was a step away from stopping that twice, but they weren't in the right spot by a stride. And that power of stride, Matthews has. And they couldn't stop McKinnon, and then the shot was all world, and now the series is tied 1-1.
Yeah.
What's a bigger surprise for you? The fact that Tampa is down 3-0, or the fact that Pittsburgh is down 3-0 and Sidney Crosby does not have a point?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you one thing. I don't really want to go back to our preview show to see my picks again. Because
me neither, but I'm
not there. Oh, that is an egg on the face about seven times. I'll say Tampa because I didn't see Columbus being able to get a handle on Tampa at all. But, you know, it's not very long ago, about 5 days, Tampa had a 3-0 lead in the first period. And I turned away from the game, say, and I'm like, yeah, I got to watch other stuff. And the next time I found out it was 3-3. Like, something happened, and then they got rattled. They got flustered. You know, Kucherov takes a stupid suspension. You know, he lost his head, too. They don't have Hedman. And it's like, in a week, they're not even the same team. Like, that's astounding.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I would have thought Crosby had some points. And I picked Pittsburgh to beat the Islanders because I thought everybody being healthy in Pittsburgh would be too much for the Islanders. But, man, they took advantage of the home ice. And then they played a hell of a game in Game 3. And, yeah, I just didn't see that. I didn't see either of it, but more surprised about Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa, the complete unraveling of a team that won 62 games is incredible. And then, you know, Winnipeg really responded well yesterday. They looked great.
Yeah, they did.
Are you saying Tampa has no chance to come back?
Yes.
That's what you're saying, Ray? I can't say never because...
I can't either. I just got to... They have to just break it down and say, we got to win four games here. And they've done it probably a million times this year, so go out and do it. I'm not counting them out, Ray.
I think... I am old because it's happened four times in 186 series.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? It's not happening. I don't know. I just don't see it. I think the wheels are off, and they'll get Kucherov back. We don't know anything about Hedman, I don't think. That's an enormous loss for them, too. Somewhere, and Nurnos, you can address this, somewhere the goalie's lost his way, too.
Agreed. He looks out of sorts. But that whole team looks out of sorts, and Columbus looks like world beaters. And we were talking about it last hour. There is zero respect handed out from Columbus.
Nor
like,
should there
that
be.
Seth Jones, he must have run Kucherov in game two like four times. But he's a hell of a... Like, Seth Jones will win a Norris someday. Like, he's that good of a player.
Yeah.
Like, Columbus, I think we've all said this around the table. They weren't... A wild card team. They're a good team that ended up in a wild card spot.
I don't know. I bashed them at Trade Center. Well, I was like, they're not good enough to add all these pieces. And
no, they backdoored into the playoffs.
But,
they did.
But if you actually look at that team, they're better than Carolina. They're better than Montreal. Like that. That's
on
how
paper
you,
they are.
You talk about executive of the year. Kekalainen's got to get some credit.
We also
I'm
said
serious.
That, well, he was
get
getting
out of
fun.
Here, dude.
It's judged on the first two rounds of the playoffs. You don't think he's got some stones to make that happen and see
what
happens?
He had him
you
fired
gotta
if
get
they
some
missed
credit.
The playoffs. If
you're not going to give him some love?
No, I'm not going to give him any love.
He had him fired when if he missed the playoffs, too.
Hey, I'm Stephen A. Smith. Now I love the guy. He's got big balls. I love him.
Hey, I will say this, though, guys, and to tie it back to the Leafs and the Bruins series, In 93, when we knocked off Pittsburgh, the whole East opened up. Like, yeah. Tampa goes out. I'm not sure many people picked anybody else other than Tampa. Maybe a few people had Washington, I don't know. But most people had Tampa. If they go down, the East is open. It's far more open than it was 10 days ago.
Absolutely. And Pittsburgh's out, too. Like, you've got Columbus and the Islanders in the Final Four.
Well, the league's
Maple
open.
Maple Leafs, if you can get through.
I think the league's open after that.
Yeah.
Like, it was Tampa and then the field.
Yeah, it felt that way.
I've told you guys, and we all agreed, we've all said it, you just got to stick around. You never know what the hell happens after round one. Paz, open up.
Yeah,
hey, Ray, have you ever seen that scene in Rocky where he's punching the meat in the meat locker?
Yeah.
That's what our studio's like. It's a meat locker. It's freezing.
We're going to go out and chase the chicken.
Yeah.
Catch the chicken, Rock!
If they turn you from a left-hander into a right-hander, that's the story.
Yeah.
If they can,
we're
if
we're
they
trying
turn,
to keep
when
our
When they turn Rocky, oh, my God, that was amazing.
All right, buddy, enjoy
like
the
game.
Movie. Yeah, well, yeah. I would say so. Enjoy the games, buddy. We'll do it tomorrow.
Brought up, I will, and I'm going to say I can't believe nobody brought up Tiger. That was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
He's going to win 30 awesome. Majors. We got to fly, buddy.
Later, boys.
All right, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada. Plus, get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. I'll be honest, it's been louder down here the last minute. I couldn't even hear Ray.
I know, like, I was fading out, but I think there was something with his phone.
No, his phone was jacked up.
Because I was talking over him. I'm like, I can't even hear you.
There is a grit grinder that's been putting on a dancing display.
This guy has got the glow sticks, and he is jacked up.
I love it.
Yeah, he is.
Tomorrow morning on First Up, Landsberg and Koliakovo will be announcing a Leaf playoff keyword. Then I will give the cue to call tomorrow afternoon on Overdrive. And the first person through with the correct keyword will win a pair of tickets to see Game 4, Leafs Bruins, courtesy of TSN 1050. So make sure you listen to the whole show tomorrow morning, 6 to 10 a.m. First Up with Landsberg and Koliakovo. Josh Leuenberg, our Raptors reporter, will join us around the table. We'll try to put a wrap on what happened Saturday night. Why did Kawhi only play 33 minutes? How could Lowry put up a bagel? And what kind of response can we expect tomorrow night for Game 2? Overdrive continues live from Maple Leaf Square on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we are live from Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 3 tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Leafs Bruins right here on TSN Radio. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30. So we're teeing that up throughout the afternoon. Game 2, Raptors Magic tomorrow night down here at Scotiabank. And speak of the devil, our TSN Raptors reporter Josh Leuenberg joining us around the table.
I feel very out of place here. I've got my Raptors red with ties. I think somebody needs to give me some blue. Or
you're not
going to
get beat up.
I might.
Why? The Bruins aren't red.
Joshy.
That's okay.
You're all good,
you
buddy.
You go out
don't
and drink a beer with those people, they'll love you.
I look a little bit out of place, but I'll be fine.
Well, we're all in the same boat, man. We're trying to stay warm down here more than anything else. Yeah. We've been complaining about it all afternoon. But as for the Raptors, you know, game one.
Was game one.
It's game one, isn't it? 2-14 lifetime as a franchise.
It's one of the strangest stats I've ever seen. Like, how do you explain it? It makes no sense. We're talking about nearly two decades of Raptors basketball. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, he has nothing to do with the Vince Carter losses and the Chris Bosh losses and DeMar DeRozan losses. It's a different team, different coaches, different players, yet for some reason, the result is always the same.
What do you think about Orlando's head coach coming out saying Kyle Lowry actually had a strong game? He did this, he did that, he did the other. 0 points. Don't worry about the 0 points, he said. He was really good.
Play him more. No,
is that like reverse
psychology
saying go out there and keep doing that? Or what the hell is he talking about?
Well, first of all, it's been really fascinating to watch the change of perception with Kyle Lowry and the coaches specifically over the last 5 years. Remember, that was the reason why he didn't get in the All-Star game the first year that he actually deserved it, because coaches were like, well, who is this guy? He's a journeyman point guard. Who cares?
Right.
And now he's got so much respect around the league. I mean, they know that he doesn't need to score to impact the game, and we know or should know that he doesn't need to score to impact the game. So I don't think he was as bad as people think that he was, and that the scoreless, the zero on the stat sheet would indicate. That said, it was not a good game. And I don't say that entirely because of the 0 points. There are very few players in the NBA that can impact the game without scoring the way that Lowry can. I mean, Draymond Green comes to mind, a few other guys. But the bigger thing to me is the defense on DJ Augustine.
I thought he got torched.
He was the primary defender on Augustine in the first half.
So
DJ
how did he play a good game in any capacity? Right. Like, honestly, I've been thinking about this for 48 hours now.
You're getting wound up.
I am, though,
too.
Because I'm hearing people let him off the hook. This doesn't mean that he can't redeem himself tomorrow or that he
right.
won't. Kyle Lowry was awful in game one.
I don't think he was awful.
I thought he was awful. You get that kind of time, the ball goes through your hand that many times, you put up a bagel, that's an embarrassment. But DJ Augustine absolutely destroyed him.
That was the
problem. Destroyed him in the second quarter.
In the first half, DJ had 19 of his 25 points, forcing Nurse to switch Danny Green
went on him
in the second half. So that's the biggest thing here. Is like I think he did a pretty good job running the offense. 8 assists, 2 turnovers, all that.
Fred can do that, though. Van Vliet can do that. The truth is, though, I
don't think Van Vliet can run an offense the way that Lowry can. But regardless.
He could Saturday night.
The bottom line is this. If you're the Raptors, you have to win the point guard matchup in this series.
Right.
That is non-negotiable. You have a perennial all-star and the third-place finisher in six-man voting last year against two journeyman point guards in DJ Augustine and Michael Carter-Williams, who is one of the worst shooters in the NBA, by the way. He hit 2 threes. Kyle Lowry, 0 threes
right.
yesterday. So that's what can't happen. If you're Lowry, you've either got to bring it on the defensive end or you've got to find a way to score. But regardless, you cannot be outscored in that matchup 25 to nothing. So yeah. I think for me, like I said, I've seen Lowry play really well without scoring big. I didn't see that on Saturday, by the way. He can do it, but I think he's got to be more aggressive, especially if the shot's not falling. He's got to find some way to have an offensive impact, put the ball on the floor, get to the rim, find a way to get to the line. It's not easy against Orlando. They don't foul a whole lot, but have some kind of offensive impact on the game, because what happens now is you're Orlando. You're playing him to be passive. You know he's going to be passive.
Absolutely.
If he's not shooting, and that's one less guy you have to worry about. So that's something that just about everyone was talking about at practice today. Nurse, Danny Green, I thought made a great point in that not only do they need him to be aggressive, but they need him to do it quickly in game two. They're really, I would be shocked if they don't go out of their way to try and establish him in the first few minutes of game two, because if nothing else, you have to have the threat of Kyle Lowry being a scorer, even if he's not going to actually be a scorer.
Was there more minutes for Kawhi?
There should be.
There has to be. You know, that was the biggest storyline of the game for me. It wasn't Lowry. That's a rookie mistake from a rookie coach.
Yep.
And Nick Nurse, he didn't have an explanation for it. He honestly came out and just said, I don't know what to tell you. Like, there's no excuse for Kawhi Leonard, like, even if he's not playing well, but he was on fire. Like, he was in playoff mode.
This is what
for
you
him
were
to play 33
him
minutes.
For.
Exactly.
This is what you were saving him for. This
Past
is what
that.
You brought him in for. I mean, he was at the scorer's table for a bit before he checked in the second quarter. In the fourth quarter, wasn't any stoppages of play. But you're right. I mean, that was my reaction, too, is kind of shrugging. Like, okay, well, that buys you an extra. If he gets in when he was supposed to get in, you get an extra 90 seconds of Kawhi Leonard. That's still not even close to enough.
Right.
He, at this point of the season, he should be playing roughly 40 minutes a game.
Absolutely.
I mean, Pascal Siakam played 42. Pascal Siakam is younger, more durable, and all of that. But you're not playing back-to-backs anymore. You don't have to worry about that. In fact, the NBA gifts you 2 days in between games now, which is too much in my opinion, but you've got all that rest. You need to use the guy. This is why you have him here, and especially in a game like that where it's close, it's back and forth, you're in danger of losing home court advantage by dropping the game. You need your best players on the floor. You don't have the depth to get away with it, and you have even less depth than you thought that you were going to have at that very same position because OG Anunoby
exactly.
is out. So
yeah.
Kawhi needs to play 38 to 40 minutes.
Absolutely. In a close game, he should be playing 40 minutes. And, you know, that just got away from Nick Nurse. Now, you know, I know we're coming off as negative because it was a negative afternoon. I'm not overly concerned about this series,
no.
though. I still feel really good about the Raptors.
Although I'm really impressed with Orlando to this point.
Yeah, but I think they played as perfect of a game as they possibly could. You can't take that away from him. Maybe they do it again tomorrow night. You know, maybe. But I think even if they do bring the exact same consistency, you know, they shot the lights out in the fourth quarter from three. They had too many wide-open shots, I thought. But they, you know, Augustine did what he was doing down the stretch. Aaron Gordon's found a three-point shot. You know, Vucevic is a guy who can make an impact on a game.
Yep.
But for me, Nick Nurse will not make that same mistake again. Kawhi Leonard won't play 33 minutes. Kyle Lowry's not going to put up 0 points again.
I'll take the over on 0.5 points for Lowry
right.
in game two.
I think they,
oh, what
I think
a benchmark
they respond
he's
well.
Got going for him.
right. Yeah. No, I think, yeah, listen, like, they're going to respond. They're going to be better tomorrow night. I feel pretty good about them. But
The biggest thing, I think, we haven't even mentioned this name. I just wrote about him. There's a long list of negatives in that first game. We just mentioned a lot of them. At the top of the very small list of positives is Pascal Siakam, and I actually think that positive is as encouraging as way more encouraging, actually, than the negatives are discouraging, because that was a big question for me going into this playoff series. That was the wild card, is Siakam. He's had such a good year, but one, is it going to translate in the playoffs? He's played in the playoffs before, never as like a prominent notable guy in the offense. And then two, no team in the NBA defended him better than Orlando this season, Jonathan Isaac. But I thought he was great in game one. He made the adjustments he needed to make. He carried the load on a night where Kawhi didn't play as much as he should have, where Kyle didn't score, I was about to say as much as he should have, where he didn't score at all.
Any point.
At Pascal Siakam carried the load. So I thought that was really encouraging, if for no other reason than they're going to need him to, at worst, be the third guy and maybe even be the second or first guy on some nights if they're going to have a deep playoff.
Yeah, I think that's what was developing over the course of the year, that, you know, this is Kawhi's team. And it should be Kawhi's team. But I think Siakam has leapfrogged Kyle Lowry, you know, in terms
of
importance.
You asked that question. If he's Kawhi's one, who's number two? Probably not a question after game one.
I think you ask Kyle that question, and he tells you Pascal is number two.
Right.
I don't know if that's – I don't say that as a good thing or a bad thing. I think that that's sort of just the understood –
just the reality.
It's the reality right now.
Yeah, and Kyle set himself up for a different role in the playoffs, which, to your point, he doesn't have to go for 30.
No.
He doesn't have to, but – there's a middle ground there where he can be more effective. He's got to be a guy who makes the Magic at least think, okay, we can't leave him wide open.
Absolutely.
And I think he'll start hitting more shots. You know, I think that's inevitable at this point. Quickly, the Amir Johnson goofiness with the cell phone. He was inactive over the weekend. I mean, he got fined by the team. I think that's probably the league saying either you're going to fine him or we're going to fine him. But, like, you're not allowed to have a cell phone on the bench.
My initial reaction, and people killed me. People killed me for this on Twitter. My initial reaction was, Amir is an absolute professional. I've covered the guy for many years. He never did anything even slightly unprofessional. Let's wait. Let's wait for context before we judge this guy, because you don't know. You don't know what's going on in the guy's personal life. He says, I guess, that his daughter was sick. Here's where I stand on it now. There is no excuse to have a phone on the bench. You can't do it. I guess in any context,
you're inactive. Go to the back.
Right.
You can go to the locker room.
At the same time, if I'm him,
who cares?
Who cares? Yeah. Like if I'm him, I understand and I acknowledge that's the rule. If I'm inactive, it's not like I'm focused on the game. If I don't have children. You guys do. If my daughter was sick, I'd want to have my phone there. I'd probably do it. If I got caught, I'd apologize and pay the fine. If I get away with it, I get away with it.
I don't think he's too worried about the fine.
And people are freaking out about this. Let's put things in perspective here. I guess against the rules, but it's a victimless crime.
Right. It's all good.
It is what it is.
Shout out to our guy.
I love Amir.
Love Amir Johnson. Thank you for joining us, Josh.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, buddy. Go get in that crowd.
I'll grab some blue before I get out of here.
Go get in that crowd for us.
Yeah.
There's Josh Lumenberg, our TSN Raptors reporter. Game two tomorrow, Raptors Magic down here at Scotiabank. Game three tonight, Maple Leafs Bruins. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. We continue to tee that up. We'll catch up with Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel as well.
Look back on
the Masters and look back on Tiger Woods and his triumphant weekend. And again, we're teeing up Leafs Bruins tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
Part man, part machine.
The Overdrive Man of Steel.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, I'm the man.
All right, the Man of Steel is brought to you by Steel, a quality product built to last, priced to sell. Man of Steel, looking back on really the weekend in general.
Well, I'll go with a gentleman last night who put up a five spot. Mark Stone, his first career hat trick, and you do it in Vegas?
Unreal. Game one, well, game three, but the first game at home against San Jose.
Man, hey, talk about bar play.
Oh, yeah, dude. If he was at, like, Tao Nightclub last night, Dougie in 93.
Exactly.
Dougie in 93.
I am going to go with Sergei Bobrovsky, goaltender for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I like it.
A lot of people are talking about how their offense is producing this, that, and the other. He's getting the job done for the Blue Jackets.
I got a two-pack. Tiger Woods needs a shout-out. I know, generally speaking, we're putting a hockey spin on this in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but if Tiger's not a Man of Steel after he wins the Masters, I don't even know what a Man of Steel is.
I agree.
And I'm going to throw a shout-out to a guy I've been really hard on this year. Patrick Laine, he's heating up.
Yeah.
I would guess so.
Patrick Laine.
That little move he had last night in that one motion, spinorama.
Out of the air. Like he's beautiful. Cradled that out of the air.
Was that the Man of Steel?
No. That was my Man of Steel.
Mark Stone. Mark Stone was Craig's Man of Steel. Mine was Jordan Eberle because it was the noon game way earlier.
That nobody cared about and watched.
Seven people did.
Seven people.
Six and me.
I still can't believe you weren't watching the Masters.
Not live, but I watched it and got emotional. Not like him, but I was
cried.
Right there.
I shed a tear.
I can't believe you were crying.
I was emotional. I thought it was outstanding. I was tracking it on Twitter. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get over to it. I just was late.
When he went like this, I went like this.
You were mimicking Tiger Woods.
When he did this, I did this. When he went like this, I went like this.
Please tell me you're in like your underwear. Just bombing around the cottage up in Collingwood.
What does my underwear have to do with it?
Because you know you're standing in the living room doing this as a grown-ass man.
I was Affy Barnrat in the living room.
Right. I have a confession to make as well. I was at a birthday party yesterday because of Mother Nature down in Augusta, Georgia.
Yes.
You know, they mixed up the tee times. They moved, obviously, Tiger teed off at like 9:30. So I was at a birthday party from 11:30 to about 2:30.
What?
Well, they
you are gutless if you said no. What do you have to go for?
Because
was
there
it a kids' party?
Yes, it was
a kids' party.
Oh, my God.
38 under, no balls open. 38 under, no balls open.
I made a commitment. They're very nice people. They were nice enough to invite us.
I don't care if they'll give you a free car. You tell the wife, go. I don't need to go. It's a kid's birthday.
Well,
what are you going to do?
I may
Did
as
you
well.
Bring in a petting zoo?
Here's what ended up happening, okay? It was a really cool event. It was at like a community center. They had had ice for a while, so I was out there skating around, bombing around.
I saw on your Instagram.
Days.
I saw it on there.
I felt great. And then there was one TV in the whole place. And I wasn't even the degenerate that went up and asked for, like, requested to put on the Masters. So we're all in this party room. It's like, you know, 20 kids and 40 parents. And right outside of the party room, there's a TV. And they put up the Masters. And Tiger was probably on 13. And I was outside for, like, an hour and a half watching him. I don't think I missed a shot. And I wasn't alone. Like, me and, like, four or five other dads were outside of the party room. And you talk about daggers going right through the glass. My wife was staring at me with venom in her eyes.
Yeah. There's no need. Parents, you tell the parents right now, you're going to have a kid's birthday party, it's drop-off only. Parents don't need to be at kids' birthday
parties. They're
too
young. The kids are too young.
That's wrong. The people in Etobicoke, they know. Drop your kid off and you leave.
What do you mean people in Etobicoke know?
All the parties, you drop the kid off and they say, see you in 2 hours. And I'm like, thank you, God.
Not at that age.
Except
that
when
age.
It's at my house. You better get your ass in there because I'm not running around after your kid.
Exactly. Because if the kid's 3 years old and they take off, you need supervision. You need to be there. But I didn't miss anything. And it made it such a unique viewing experience.
I think it's a joke you went.
They're very nice people, very good people.
Exactly.
I was glad we were invited. I didn't miss anything.
Listen.
I didn't miss anything.
You've lost enough friends on this show by talking about
weddings
and all sorts of things that have gone on. You need to keep these friends.
Circumcisions.
Do you not know how to type in an email?
The
Masters is on, buds. Send.
Remember there was an Ethiopian wedding or something?
That was the cuisine.
cuisine,
it was bad. All right, Overdrive continues. We're live in the Maple Leaf Square. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.